Thank you for this opportunity, and I want to acknowledge one of my collaborators, Omar Martinez, who is here in the audience. And first, I also want to thank the men who participated in these three studies. I have no relationships to disclose. 2 years ago, after doing work on Latino men since 1998, I have worked with bisexual Latino men, Mexican migrant workers, and formerly incarcerated Latino men. About 2 years ago, I realized, I started seeing an association in the data, which is, it's kind of a logical association, which is the relationship between alcohol use before sex and unprotected sex. And I decided, let me examine this. Sometimes in our trajectories, we get too narrow into what we have been doing. So a lot of what I have been doing is on cultural and structural determinants of sexual risk behavior, but never really expanded too much into the relationship with alcohol use. And the past 2 years have been a trajectory into understanding this relationship more. And specifically what we're going to discuss today is the influence of acculturation and cultural processes and social marginalization in the association. How does that influence the association between HIV, sexual risk behavior, and alcohol use? As we know, I'm going to briefly describe two epidemics that are affecting Latino communities. On the one hand, we have the alcohol abuse epidemic that we can see 25% of Latino men binge drink. They have one of the highest prevalence of daily drinking. So if we think about the burden of alcohol, 1 in 10 deaths among working age adults are due to alcohol or excessive alcohol use. We also see ethnic and nationality differences, meaning for example, when we think about alcohol use disorder, which is the definition that the DSM-5 has for alcohol, so the transition from alcohol abuse and alcohol dependence in DSM-4, now we have alcohol use disorders, and it's divided into a gradient from mild to moderate to severe. And when we look at alcohol use disorder, we see that Puerto Ricans have the highest percent in comparison to Cuban Americans, for example, and then when we add gender into this, then the percents are significantly higher. So we have an epidemic of alcohol abuse among Latinos, and we also have a well-documented epidemic of HIV/AIDS. So these are two parallel but also intersecting epidemics that are fueling each other. So, as I mentioned before, this idea of why acculturation, trying to understand the role of acculturation. When we look at the data in alcohol use disorder, we see that acculturation does have an influence in the likelihood of alcohol use disorder. And that relationship seemed to be two different kinds. One is a dose response, meaning as acculturation increases, the likelihood of alcohol use disorder increases. But also, there's some data that this relationship also might be bimodal, meaning people in the lower side of the acculturation spectrum and the highest side of the acculturation spectrum have equal likelihood of alcohol use disorder. And that is interesting, because when we examine the data in HIV, we see a similar relationship, where people who are, that in some populations we see a dose-response relationship, and in other populations, we see this kind of bimodal distribution. So I was interested in that, and to explore this further, we marginalize Latino men, which are the groups that I have been working all along. And today, the first thing we're going to do is examine the association between alcohol use and HIV risk behaviors among economically and socially marginalized Latino men. Specific three groups that I will describe in just a few minutes. Then we are going to examine what is the relationship of social marginalization into that association. So, and by social marginalization, we don't necessarily have one marker. So we have different kinds of markers, and these are the indicators I had. Loneliness, depression, and anxiety were the three indicators I had, together with socioeconomic status. Lastly, then see the role of acculturation into the association between HIV risk-taking and alcohol use, masculinity and familism. And masculinity because of the strong literature that talks about masculinity and the use of alcohol as an expression of hyper-masculinity. And familism, which is emotional connectedness to family, as a protective mechanism. So I want to see also whether there are other positive aspects here. So I will describe three studies briefly. These three studies were done at different time periods with three different groups. They took place in New York City, and they used mixed methods. So what I'm doing is segregating the quantitative pieces of each of these studies. So the first study I'm going to describe is the migrant worker study. This was a two-year ethnographic study focusing on 16 to 45-year-old Mexican-born married men who just migrated alone into New York City. And the point of that study was to understand how is it that people negotiate this new environment? How is it that they negotiate their sexuality and how they cope with the issues of being a migrant worker? And in that study, we had 50 men that participated in the quantitative survey. In the second study, it's a study that focuses on formerly incarcerated Latino men. These are men who came out of jail or prison within the past 5 years. They were 18 to 49 years old. And that study focuses on social network determinants of alcohol and binge drinking and binge marijuana use and sexual risk. And this was a study that again, multiple phases, different components. We have diets of formerly incarcerated men with their best friends. But today we're going to focus on the 259 quantitative surveys that we did with the men. The third study, and probably the longest line of research I have been doing for a long time, is with bisexual Latino men. This study, we recruited 148 HIV negative, behaviorally bisexual men who from different neighborhoods of New York City. The outcome variables that we're going to look in today's analysis are alcohol use and sexual practices, and specifically alcohol use or drinking right before sex, one hand, and the combination of those two things, alcohol use and unprotected sex, penetrative sex. In terms of our cultural constructs, we use the machismo scale, the acculturation scale, and the familism scale. In terms of social marginalization or kind of mental health indicators, we use the BSI for measuring anxiety and depression, and we use the UCLA loneliness scale. So our hypotheses were the following. First one is it's kind of logical. Is there an association between alcohol use and condomless sex across these three studies, these three samples? The second one have to do with whether high levels of loneliness, high levels of anxiety or depression will lead to high alcohol use related sexual risk behavior. The third hypothesis have to do with acculturation, and here we hypothesize that lower acculturation will lead to higher alcohol use. The fourth hypothesis has have to do with masculinity and again whether hypermasculinity leads to alcohol use related sexual risk behavior. And the final hypothesis it's about a protective element, which is familism. We use logistic regression for our dichotomous variables and linear regression modeling for the continuous variables. So today I'm going to present some of the results And the idea is, I agree that we should have a discussion, and this is a great opportunity to receive feedback into this trajectory of understanding this association. So I welcome your comments and criticism, and constructive criticism, be gentle, it's early. So these are our samples, and here, as you can see, these are very different samples. The age distribution, the bisexual sample is mostly 50-50. The migrant workers, which is on the far right, there's a younger sample. And the formerly incarcerated men, they are mostly above 30. Levels of education, again, are very variable. The bisexual sample have more of a variance in education, while, as you expect, formerly incarcerated individuals are more in the lower end of the formal education. In terms of employment, we see, again, tremendous variance among the bisexual sample. No variance pretty much with formerly incarcerated men. And the migrant workers is... they're migrant workers, so that's why they got recruited. These are the different nationalities that we have in our sample. They're mostly Puerto Ricans, different versions of Puerto Rican ancestry. And then, of course, the migrant workers is a Mexican sample. So these are some of the findings. What we found was that in the past 30 days, you see high levels of drinking. What is interesting is, to me, is again drinking right before sex. We pretty much see almost no differences between these three groups, but it's between 53% and 64% of them drink before sex. And then we also see high levels of anxiety. These are people who meet the criteria for major anxiety using the BSI cutoff. Same with depression. And this is for formerly incarcerated men and bisexual men. We didn't have these two measures for the migrant workers. And in terms of loneliness, we see high levels of loneliness among migrant workers. Again, that's understandable to some extent because you just migrated. But then we also have high levels of loneliness among bisexual men and formerly incarcerated men. So then how does this translate? How does alcohol use before sex translate into whether people use condoms or not? That's not necessarily an open... It is assumed that it leads to unprotected sex, but that's not always true. And we know a number of studies that have demonstrated that alcohol, that there are other factors that play into this. In our sample, however, what we see is that alcohol use right before sex does lead to unprotected sex. And we see these are the odds ratios for the three groups, and the confidence intervals are pretty strong with regards to formerly incarcerated men. Then, just to give you some examples of acculturation and the impacts of social factors such as loneliness, depression, and anxiety, we see that anxiety and depression are major factors influencing the likelihood of a combination of alcohol drinking and unprotected sex with an increased, remember, odds ratio that is above, in this case, above one, so it doesn't... crosses one, it's statistically significant. So this 2.67 and this 1.95 are statistically significant for female partners. For male partners, we have a similar relationship with regards to anxiety. And then when we look at formerly incarcerated men, we see that both all the factors, loneliness, anxiety, and depression, are determinants of having of condomless sex with alcohol. In terms of acculturation, what we see is that high acculturation leads to high drinking and high frequency of combined or protected vaginal sex for formerly incarcerated men. This is not the same for bisexual men, where we see acculturation does lead to high drinking, and then high drinking leads to frequency of unprotected sex, but acculturation doesn't have a direct relationship, at least in our model. So there might be something else that might be explained in this. So I'm going to go a little bit fast on this to my central point, which is that we need to move beyond acculturation. We really need to understand things that are more complex. And I think the construct of acculturative stress could be really powerful because it refers to the reactions of intercultural contact for cultural adaptation processes, kind of the stressors of adapting. I think that's a better measure than acculturation in and of itself. And regrettably, we did not have that measure when we did these three prior studies. So this is one of those lessons learned. I think we need to continue focusing on marginalization. The measures that we had were adequate, best, but they really don't measure the complexity of social marginalization among Latino men, given that there are different kinds of structural factors that lead to marginalization. And again, we have economic marginalization and social marginalization. And also we need to remember that we are focusing on a transnational context, where there's a lot of influences that go back and forth between Latin America and the United States, and this notion of masculinity and this ingrained idea of growing up in social, in alcohol-centered, male-centered social environment. So alcohol use is part of the construct of becoming men, part of the development of masculinity. So we need to pay attention to that. I don't think we have good enough measures yet to understand that. And I think using an approach that can capture acculturative stress in a transnational context could be really useful in to understand the causality between alcohol use and HIV risk taking. And I think I'm going to leave it there. Thank you.